Hello, and welcome to What a Jazz Podcast. I'm your host, Elze Wisniewskite. And in this episode, I have a pleasure to sit down with Edwige Adjamale. She shares her dance journey, the process of defining the follower's role and finding yourself through your own movement. She also talks about her experience growing up in a community where dance was a part of way of being rather than something you have to learn in class. We discuss learning to do steps versus learning to connect to music, finding one's individuality, but not looking for it too hard, and how to facilitate that learning process for others. Finally, Edwige shares how dancing affected her personal life and pushed the limits of what she thought she could and couldn't do. So without further ado, please put your hands together for Edwige. Hello, Edwige.
Hello, Elze.
How are you? What's happening?
I'm fine. I'm a bit cold, but everything is okay. At the moment, I'm fine. I'm doing well.
I'm good. So I was thinking of, starting this conversation, and then I was trying to remember the first time I saw you in a festival or dancing, and I think it was at Strasbourg.
Ah,
the Strasbourg Christmas. And I remember, like, we were dancing by the stage, and I looked at you, and I wanted to dance, but then I couldn't stop, like, trying to look at you, because you just had this expression that was so beautiful. And it really stuck into my mind, and you have it since then. Every time I see you dance, I'm like, oh, I have to,
thank you so much.
Take my face away from it.
Thank you so much. Actually, I remember the first time I saw you in a festival, but it was not in Strasbourg. It was in Budapest.
Okay.
I was at one of your classes that you gave with Peter, and I think it was my second year dancing or something. Like, yeah, I was like very beginning dancing, and you gave me an advice like, maybe you should make your step a bit smaller so that you can be on time. And it stuck with me. So I do remember you for that.
I'm happy with the advice you could use.
Oh, I could use it because I was like all over the place, and you're like, maybe. Yeah, I do remember the first time I saw it was in Budapest. I think it was in 2019.
Yeah, yes. Probably the last Lindy Shock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you started dancing in around 2017?
Yes, well, in 2017, in September, I was like, okay, let's do solo jazz. And yeah.
You started with solo jazz?
Yes, I started with solo jazz, yeah.
That's rare. Usually people start with Lindy and then they switch to solo.
Yes. Well, because I never done partner dance before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm not sure I want someone to tell me what to do. Because I had this misconception that as a woman, I was supposed to follow. And that as a follower, you were told everything that you were supposed to do. And you had no idea. It was a misconception, but that was the one I had at the time. So I was like, there's no way. So I was like, okay, let's do solo jazz.
Okay. And did you start at Shake That Swing?
Yes. Yeah. I started at Shake That Swing. Yeah. It was a bit of, it was by chance. I just Googled where can you do solo jazz, and then Shake That Swing popped up. So I tried to register and I could. It was that. So yeah. Well, yeah.
Nice. And did that, like, later, so you started Lindy Hopin as well, like, did that misconception, how did that change?
How did it change? Well, actually it changed because I saw other women leading and I was like, oh yeah, it does make sense. Mm-hmm. This was the first one. So after that, I was having a regular class when I was following, and then I took like a crash course with leading as well, because I was like, okay, so I have to be able to lead some things, even though it's not what I'd rather do now. I'd rather following anyway, but I liked it. So I was like, okay, I need to know how to lead the basics. And as far as the follower role, I was never a good follower. Like if you ask me just to follow and not do anything, it won't do. So at some point I was like, okay, I'll just do me. And so that's what I do. And I just dance. And maybe sometimes I'm not a good follower and I don't understand what people are leading, but I guess that's okay.
I think also the role of a follower changed a lot over years, where before I think it was more, oh yeah, just follow, that kind of idea. And now it's, you know, I think it's definitely more of a conversation where the more you can bring yourself, the more interesting it is, at least for some people. Hopefully more and more people will find it very interesting and will appreciate that.
Yeah, I hope so. Actually, I think people who are not really into followers dancing don't dance with me. So because like, I think if you dance with me, at least if you dance with me once, you know that I won't be able to just follow. Because like I hear the music too. So you're both hearing the music. So why wouldn't I be able to express what I have to say? So yeah. I don't know when it came like boom on me, but I don't know if it was like a revelation or if it was gradually coming. I think it was gradually and then a revelation. Like, okay, I can dance. And I can do it too. So yeah. But I think it took me like 3 or 4 years to get there, I guess.
Yeah. And it's also, I feel like that's what you say, you know, once you dance with someone, you know who they are and how they are. And then you either want more of that or maybe not. And then you kind of, that's how you find people that you can really connect and maybe also people that you will not connect, right?
Exactly. Like, I think it's okay not to be able to dance with everyone. So I don't mind people not wanting to dance with me for that reason. I'm really fine with that. And actually, I have better dances when people are open to that. So people who are not open to that are not really good fit for me anyway.
Now, when you started solo and then Lindy Hop, it sounds like that expression was very natural to you, or like you didn't have to struggle to put yourself in a dance. And I think some people are like that even after years of dancing, they're like, okay, now it's time I put myself in there. Was it something that you actually also like worked on, or you felt like, okay, that's quite easy?
Several layers to that question. I mean, like dancing is not something that I see as something you have to learn. I don't know if it doesn't make sense, but it's just like something you do. So like you put music on, you dance, whatever the music, if you have the beat and if you like it, you dance. Even if it's just moving to it, as long as you're on the beat, whatever music it is, you dance. So it wasn't a matter of learning how to dance. It was a matter of learning this dance. So because I think I knew how to dance before I started to do solo jazz, but I didn't know how to dance solo jazz like as a dance. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So it was a bit of a struggle for me in the beginning because it was like, okay, now I'm coming into a community that I don't know, with codes that I don't know, and a way of learning dance that I don't really know. So I think the first year I stuck to that mindset of that I know steps, so I have to do the steps, and well, they can go on any music and it's fine. I guess that's the thing. And then, I don't know, when I started Lindy Hop, I had a hard time in dances, in parties. So I went to a party and I was like, okay, I paid and I can't do Lindy Hop, so I might as well solo dance. And then that's when I decided that I would just do my thing and just dance. And if I feel the music, I do things. If steps come, they come. If they don't, that's okay. I still can vibe to the music. And that's pretty much that. So, yeah.
Solo dancing in the parties, it's still something I think as a community we're trying to work on or to facilitate and make that environment. It's still mainly people doing Lindy Hop in a lot of festivals.
Yes.
What do you think would make the community and the scene more of a party where people would feel invited to just do solo as well?
I don't know. I think there is more solo at the moment. Mm. I think like it's more like we have to show it. It's more like if nobody does solo jazz in parties and we say, you can do it, it won't happen. Like, because if I'm a beginner and I'm coming to a party and nobody is doing it, I'm like, no. Okay, to say I could, but I feel embarrassed or I'm feeling shy or something. If there are people doing it, and not just people like are really advanced and doing crazy stuff in jams, but if people are just vibing to the music by themselves and with other people, but not in the hopping, I think more people will feel drawn to it and just it will grow. But that's just my opinion. I'm trying it. I don't know if it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you gone to... Because we met in different events, I think, over the last few years. Like, how some of those events, have you felt that they brought maybe this part more than the others? Or, like, the atmosphere and how the atmosphere is created?
Definitely. I think, Badass Soul Jazz Festival in Amsterdam, for sure, because it's a soul jazz festival. Mm. And also, I would say the old school.
Yeah.
I haven't been to that many events at the time. But yeah, those two, I guess. But I think it's because they bring other music. And then as people dance to other type of music, they feel more open to dance to jazz as well. Yeah. I don't know if it makes sense, but it's just like, because when you put just jazz and people are like, okay, now I have to remember the steps. But when you already have a party and they happen to be funk, jazz, disco, whatever, people are dancing to anything. Mm. So maybe that's why, I don't know. But yeah, those events, I didn't feel like it was me making an effort to dance solo. Mm-hmm. It was just happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas in other events, I have a tendency to, well, I always dance solo. Now it's the thing I do, so whatever. I like Lindy Hop, but with some music, I don't mind dancing on my own. Mm-hmm. But in most events, I still feel like it's an effort to do it. I still need to be in the mindset where I put myself out there and dance in front of the band or anything, where people can see me, and when I'm not doing something that everybody does. So it's still a bit challenging sometimes. And yeah, in most events, it's challenging, I would say.
You know, it was very interesting what you said before, that you knew how to dance, but you just needed to learn this dance. And I'm thinking that a lot of times, maybe that is the challenge, and the difference is that when people come to the solo jazz class or Lindy Hop class, and they have never had an experience as much of like moving their body to any type of music, you know, whatever that is. And then suddenly they're in the setting. So they're learning the dance, but they're also learning just to dance in general. So it's like such a, you know, big thing to do. And then I think the tendency to concentrate on steps and doing things right or wrong comes out, because you're like, it's quite overwhelming if you haven't had that connection with dance.
Yes, I understand that. And I really, actually, I struggled to understand that. In the beginning, I was like, what's wrong? But I had conversation about it. Now I understand not what's wrong, but what's different. Mm-hmm. The thing is, when I started to, well, I've always danced. I think like, like when you go to a family party or to a birthday or anything, you're gonna, I know in my community, well, you will eat, drink, and dance. That's the thing. You always dance. I grew up like when I grew up in mostly non-white communities from when I was 7 to when I was like 30 or something. So that's what I did. So when we would go out, there was no question, we would dance. It's something we do, drink a bit maybe, but dancing for sure. And when you wanted, when you went to dance class, which I did when I was, I think, 13 or 14, something like this. When you go to a dance class, it's because you want to be a better dancer or you want to perform, but you already know how to move. It's just that you need to learn the dance you want to do. So maybe you want to do popping, so you will go to popping class to do popping. But if you hear funk music, you can dance to it. It's just that you don't know popping. But you can always dance to anything. So yeah, it's so for me it was like a given. And when so yeah, but learning the dance and learning how to dance at the same time, I think it's challenging, I guess. Because like the understanding of the dance is different. Because you're like, when I used to go to a dance class, I would be like, okay, I know how to dance, but I want to learn steps just to be better at this dance, and just it doesn't make sense. But when you have to learn how to dance on a certain type of music and learn to dance, to learn the dance, I guess it can be challenging. And maybe if it's not approached in a, I would say, good way or like wholesome way, it might be that at some point you stuck to one type of music and one type of dance. Which I think it's a pity. Because, like, I think it's a pity when you've taken, like, 5 years of any dance class and you can't translate it to any other type of music, or, like, you don't know the feel of the music. I don't know. It's a bit, I don't know. It's a challenge for me as well, because I'm trying to, like, transmit the passion for this dance and this music, which I actually really love. And it's challenging not to teach people only the dance, but to teach them how to dance as well. I think it's a bit challenging.
It's like if you listen to music and if you are learning how to move on jazz or in swing, that same, like, you are learning the skill how to react to music in general. So if a Latin song comes in, if it's like salsa or whatever, like something probably will move inside of you. Maybe not to all styles you'll feel invited to move. But I do feel like it's just, it almost becomes more natural as you're learning to react with your body to music. But also maybe, I think, in a way where if you're learning a lot of steps and not so much of like that deeper connection of you and the music, then maybe every time the song comes, you're just thinking, which steps do I do on this? What fits? Rather than actually responding from somewhere more deep.
Yes. Yes, exactly the point. It's just when you like hear the music and you just in your head, like, should I do a fall off the log?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's time for Taikiani. First, you're not responding to the music, or you're not like really connecting, I guess. It comes from a place of disconnect. Because like, in my opinion, and I think, well, just my opinion, you have to feel the music before putting any step to it, if you put steps to it. There's plenty of ways to feel the music. There's plenty of ways to express what you're feeling. And doing the steps, which are important because they are part of the history and everything, but just doing the steps, I think it comes from a place of disconnect, and I think it's not really honoring the music and the dance. Because steps are there for a reason. You do steps because you feel them and you feel the need to do them because they make sense at the moment you're dancing. So, and I think that's the dance for me. So if you just like, okay, should I do this step or this step? You're just not dancing. You're just stepping. Which is okay, I guess. But because that's not my place to tell someone how to do a thing. But I think it's culturally inaccurate to begin with. And it's just disconnected from the culture, the music, and the dancing itself.
I'm thinking also about solo jazz, and maybe the reason why that disconnect happened is that as there wasn't, at some point, I think, so much solo jazz as a party thing, then people would do solo jazz in performances, in jams, competitions. It's all these places where you have very limited amount of time to come out and show something. So then I think solo jazz became this thing where you don't give yourself time to feel the music, to vibe with it. You just go and you do your fall of the log and you leave.
Actually, I really love fall of the log.
It's a great step.
I think it's everything. I really like pull up the logs, actually. That's one of my favorite steps. So yeah, yes, you're right. I think you don't like take time to vibe with the music. You just go and do your steps without even thinking about the beat and where the music is, where it is taking me. Just like you have, like, I don't know, you have a chorus, you have half a chorus, you have 30 seconds to give everything you have. So you don't even take the time to just listen to the music, just go. And I do that actually sometimes when I compete, which I don't do much because it's still challenging for me. Like, I just go. And then I wonder, what is okay? But the autopilot just goes and I just throw steps around. But I think it's a pity. And I think it's a pity because you have to be able to dance with yourself. Even if you do Lindy Hop, you have to be able to just like feel the music. And I think there would be less pressure in Lindy Hops if people allowed themselves to feel the music to begin with. Yeah. Because I hear like sometimes people pressuring themselves. I don't know what to lead. I don't know how to follow. I don't know. Oh, the worst for me, I don't know a lot of moves. Which I think is the worst thing you can hear, because like you give me like a tuck turn and a swing out and maybe a changing places and I'm fine. So
yeah.
I can work with that. So yeah, I think like not focusing on the music puts a lot of pressure. Because like the music, the beat, everything is there to support you and to help you dance. So if you come from a place like, okay, how could I move my flow? Yeah. You're not really dancing, in my opinion. And I think like taking a step back and doing a bit simpler and just like enjoying the feel of the music and then start to have a conversation about it. I think it's better. It's like on any topic. You want to like maybe understand the topic more or have more sorts of information before starting to talk about it. I think that's the same with dance. You have to like, okay, you're taking the music. That's where I'm at. That's where you are. Let's discuss together. So yeah.
For sure. I so agree. And also, how do you manage that in classes when you teach solo jazz? How do you approach this?
It's a bit of a challenge, and I'm still learning because it's easier to teach step. Like, it's easier for me, it's easier for them. So most of the time, I try to take the time in the beginning of the class to just listen to some music and just groove. And most of the time, I ask people not to do steps, just to move to the music. Like, imagine they're at a concert or anything and just move. And then I introduce steps. Like, I know yesterday we did breaks. And I was like, okay, just you do your step. And then when you hear the break, you do a break, whatever break. And yeah, that's what I've tried to do. It's sometimes challenging because, like, people don't like improvisation. Improvisation? People don't really like it. I don't know why. It's challenging, but yeah, I think I'm getting better. I think like we don't give students enough credit, and sometimes we do not give them things because we think that, oh, they're beginners, they won't understand that or that or this, whereas they are beginners, so that's why we should give it to them now, because before they get in the mindset where they're stuck in the steps and everything, that's when we should put the things there, like, okay, there's the music, there's your body, what you can do with your body. I think it's the beginning that it's like takes roots, and it's much harder later. So yeah, but it's still a work in progress for me.
When you're improvising yourself, what kind of mindset do you try to have, or what are like the mental things you're working on or prepping yourself to be really in the good spot to improvise?
Depends for which reason I do improvise. If it's like improvisation for a competition, there's no mindset. It's just like, okay, I have to do something. The music people are watching, I have to do something. So I just do.
Survival.
Yeah. I think it's the fight or flight thing when I just fight. I have to find a way to do it to get to a different mindset at some point. But at the moment, it's just like, okay, go. But when it's for myself or when I'm in a party with my friend and stuff, it's mostly like I step to the music, I dance, and then I'm not thinking about anything. Most of the time, I'm just like, here's the beat. Wow, that's beautiful, what it's doing. So it's kind of, at some point, it's kind of a trance state, I guess, where it's just like I'm me reacting to whatever the trumpet player is doing. But yeah, I haven't really thought about it much, but yeah, that's what happens. Basically, my body was responding and me just being like, oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah. It's not fight or flight at all. I'm present. I just like, yeah, that's from a place where I'm present. I'm just doing my thing here and now. So yeah.
The feeling of being present is a big one, right? To be able to connect and to express. And it's like it's a hard skill in general in life, I think currently especially, to be present wherever we are. But in the dance, we almost have a chance to practice it. To, even when people are watching, try to stay present with yourself.
Yeah, it's a hard one to stay present when people are watching, because you have like this pressure of doing well, which you don't have when you're dancing by yourself and you're just like having fun. So, and I think it's a big thing for me, like the pressure of doing well and of being perfect and blah, blah, blah. But that's not therapy. So that's for another time. But yeah, I think that's the problem with being present. If you are pressured to do well, or if you feel pressured to do well, you are less present because you're focusing on the outcome. Whereas when you're present, it's just like you take it step by step and you don't know where you're going. Like the music is taking you, the beat is taking you, and just takes you where you're supposed to go. But you don't know where it's going to be. Whereas when you want to perform well, you're like, okay, I have to, like, I don't know, have a flash move somewhere. Or you don't have maybe have the full extent of what you're going to do, but you have ideas of what you're going to do. And it's okay. I mean, like, it's a format that requires that. You can't just go and I'm going to compete and not train before. So if you trained before, your body has things that it remembers and it has things that you know you want to do. So yeah, but it's harder to be present when you have that goal and that, even if it's for yourself, it's not about winning or anything, but you want to do well. You don't want to go and like be ridiculed, I guess. It's harder to stay present.
Exactly. Or if you let your mind wander, you know, if you're dancing or improvising and suddenly there's a thought of, oh, that was not the rhythm I wanted to do, or that sounded shit. And suddenly all that thought is taking you outside of the moment and you're not there for the next few seconds or maybe even longer because you're like trying to ruminate on the thing that happened before.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make sense actually. But yeah, we all do that, like, oh shit, I should have done that, or I should have done like this rhythm perfectly and it wasn't on point and then I wasn't on the break and blah, blah, blah. Yes, and then, and yeah. So what? But I know I get that it's hard to like go past that because I don't always do. I think like that's where it gets interesting. It's when you are present and when you are like really connecting. Anything else, I mean, I don't dance for any other reason. So, and so, yeah. And I don't dance to this music for any other reason because that's the one that makes me the more grounded and present.
Yeah. I feel like the best moments of improvising are, you know, the ones where sometimes you're even surprised that the song is finished because it felt too short. Even though it might have been 4 or 5 minutes and the song is done and you wake up from this dream or this trance. and that feeling is so good.
Yeah, that's the best, actually. Like, like, wow, I didn't even know I had that in me. Like, I didn't know that I could just be there and focused and just like, wow, that was good. That's the feeling you want to have, like, wow, that was good.
Exactly. And it's funny you said, oh, it's not a therapy session, because in dance classes, a lot of times, I feel like it is a bit of a therapy session for people in the class, especially if you're working on improvisation, or even if you're working on not improvisation, but people are kind of, they are fighting themselves, you know, they're fighting their own insecurities and their own limits. And in that sense, it does feel a bit like a group therapy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is for sure. Like when you have to improvise, you have like to be aware that, that like, oh, why you don't want to do it? It's most like, is it because you're afraid of what people think? Is it because you're insecure in your own body? Is it because, I don't know, there's plenty of reason why, because it's you. And that's the problem with soldiers. I think that's why people are a bit shy with it. It's because it's you. There's no way to hide. So you can't hide that. You can't hide your dancing, but you can't hide the fact that you're feeling insecure. You can't hide the fact that you're embarrassed or that you're not feeling at ease at the moment. Everything is on the table. So I think it's a place where you're vulnerable. And if you like, it's not easy. It's not easy to be vulnerable in public. So that's why I think like people should give themselves grace just to like be like, okay, I'm dancing. That's what I am at the moment. And that's what you get.
But I
understand that it's hard. And yeah, it's really therapeutic to be able to be like, okay, that's who I am. You take it, so you don't, you like it or not, it's okay.
Yeah.
I won't be able to change it anyway, so.
Yeah, and it's also you're balancing between you care what people think, but you also have to not care what people think. So it's like, if you completely don't care, then, you know, you're not involved as well. And it's also not very genuine. You're like, whatever. So there's a certain care for what you do and what you put out there, but you can't care too much, or you can't focus on that at least while you're doing it.
Yes, exactly. It's a fine line. And you have like to navigate like the, I don't know how you say it, the guy in the circus that is like, walking on the rope.
Yeah.
It's a tightrope. Between over-caring about what people think and being totally disconnected of the dance. Because that's the thing as well. Like, I'm always saying, like, you have to be individuality is important. And yes, it's really important and everything. But it's still a dance with codes, I guess. I don't know if codes is the right word, but there are things. And they're not there for nothing, for no reason. So I think you have to find like the respect as well. It's a process. But respect is not imitation. So it's not because like you're going to do like everything perfectly like someone from before or from now, that it's going to be, it's not your dance if you do that. It's just imitation. But how far can you go from the dance, from the thing, and it's still being the dance? It's hard, because that's when you get street jazz or modern jazz or anything that have jazz in the name, but it's not jazz. Or when you get West Coast swing, which is okay, but it has swing in the name and it doesn't really swing. Sorry about West Coast swing. I like it, but I don't dance it. But yeah, I mean, like where is the limit? And I don't know, actually. I don't know. Still trying to figure it out. Because also, I really like what is in it already. I love it. So I don't really want to go from it. Like the beat, the pulse, everything. I think it's amazing. So, and I think it's non-negotiable. But what else can you negotiate? And what makes you when you dance? It's always like the point, I guess.
Yeah, and it's also like how preoccupied you are by that. I remember there was a there's a jazz drummer, and he's like an amazing swing drummer, Nicholas Ball, and he was asked like what influenced you, and you know, where's your individuality of when you play swing, because it's like it's a precise form and there's some freedom, but again there's also some limitations. And his answer was very interesting because he said, I am not very preoccupied by that question. He's like, everything I do, I learn from all these great jazz drummers, and they influenced me so much, and I take parts of them and I try to do what they did. And probably in the process, he's like, I end up doing something of my own. But he's like, I'm not really worried of, oh, where is me, you know? Like by doing it, and if you're honest and if you love it, you will be you. And that I really like that answer because, you know, while we do talk about individuality, it's almost a thing you can't search too hard because then it's becoming fake.
Yeah, exactly. that's the problem with individuality. It's just, individuality is really important, I think. It's just like you do, even if you do the same thing as someone, it should show. Well, not it should, but in my opinion, it's important for it to show. Unless you decide, like, in the choreo that you want to do it like that. Like, it's really, like, the arms have to go the same way. And that's an art decision. That's okay. But yeah. Apart from that, I think when you dance, you should show. However, it shouldn't be a question. That's true. It shouldn't be a question. Like, is that me? Is it not me?
Yeah.
Well, who cares? You know, actually, when you're dancing, you know when it's you and when it's not you. Actually, I don't know if it's like in general, but I do feel it. When something clicks, it clicks and it's me. When it doesn't, I still dance. Well, I still do the steps. But inside, I know it's not really me. I don't know if it shows. That's another thing. I don't know if it shows that it's not me. That's okay. And I don't know. But inside, I know.
Yeah.
So am I feeling it or not? And that's pretty much the question. Whatever I do, like a flop, like a takeni, it's okay. It's not my step. I didn't invent it. And that's okay. But when I dance it, is it me or not? That's the question I ask myself, but I feel it.
Yeah. So, it's the same, I think, when you are with people. You know, with some people, you feel more you, and with some people, you feel less you, or maybe at that point in the relationship. But you can tell, at least inside. You might be having a normal conversation, but you're like, I don't feel completely comfortable with this person, you know? Or sometimes you just feel like very at ease, and you might have the same conversation, but it feels different.
Exactly that. And I think it's important to be honest about it. Like, it's okay not to be like present all the time when you're dancing, and it's okay to like do steps that you don't really understand, because that's the thing also. Like, when you come from a place where you learn only steps, you don't really understand the step. So it's really hard to say like just dance it, because if you don't understand what it implies to dance this step in your body or in your mind, whatever. But if you don't really understand it, it's really hard to dance it. But you can be honest with it. You can be just like, okay, today is just a day where I can do this choreography, like being me. So I'm just doing my best and I'm just dancing. And that it feels good still. It's not the place of trance or of presence or anything, but that's okay, actually. It's okay to be like, today I'm not feeling it. It's better to feel it. It's for you. You can't have like great days every day. And that's fine too. And even with the dance, sometimes you just feel sad or tired or whatever. And you can show up with that, actually. You can still dance and still be yourself, even when you're not in the full package mindset of like being on a huge festival with people smiling all the time. If you don't feel it, just don't fake it.
Yeah. How has dance changed you as a person, if it has?
Oh, it did. I always say, and it's a bit dramatic, that jazz saved my life.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a bit dramatic, I know. But it changed me. I was in a not a really good place professionally and everything when I started dancing. And first, it helped me like just accept that I could be me. And I could just like not being perfect all the time, and that was okay. Yeah, it helped me with that. I wasn't able to speak in public before.
Really?
I would never speak in public. I didn't. I hated it. Like, I would. That was crazy. I'm still a bit shy, but I was really shy. And now I'm teaching.
Yeah. Now you're speaking in front of, you know, probably hundreds of people.
Yeah, but I won't see them, so that's fine. But yeah, now I'm teaching. And I never thought I could, actually. I never imagined I could. I would be like, there's no way in hell I'm trying to teach something or I'm talking in public to like more than two people or three maybe, but that's pretty much it. And now I feel comfortable and I love it. And even like in my professional life, it shows because I'm more at ease to speak in public. I'm more at ease with like telling my truth as well. So yeah, it's helped me a lot actually. And also I feel more at ease in my body. So so yeah, because I've always danced, but I've never like pushed it. Even though I when I was a teenager, I used to take hip-hop classes and I used to perform and compete and I loved it. But I never really thought about the dance as much, I guess. Maybe because of all the conversation we have, actually. Because we wouldn't have those because they weren't relevant, I guess, when I was doing hip-hop. But in jazz and Lindy Hop and solo and whatever, we have so many conversations about the dance. Why we dance, how we dance, how we like teach or transmit it. We have so many questions about that that I have to think about it as well. And I have to find how I fit in this whole conversation and this whole community and everything. So yeah, it has been challenging, but it helped me like overcome all the challenges that I had. So yeah, it's good, I guess.
And like, it's very interesting that you say that it was hard for you to speak with, you know, in front of people, because I think when not everyone would go then the way of becoming a teacher and still pushing themselves to like do something that is like so challenging. So were you actively just trying to embrace that discomfort?
I wouldn't have thought about teaching if nobody had asked. Because I was like, no, my dance is not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. It's always a thing, like not being good enough. So I wouldn't have tried, if I'm honest. But then she asked, they asked him at Check That Swing. And I was like, I should stop not doing things because I'm afraid. If it's just fear, I should find another reason not to say no if I want to do it. So I was like, okay, let's do it. I challenged myself. It was a challenge. And then I discovered like quite quickly that I really loved it. So it still is challenging at times because, yeah, you finish your day, you worked all day, blah, blah, blah. You have like the 9 to 7 job, and then you have to teach someone how to dance. So yeah, sometimes it's challenging. I don't have a job anymore, so that's another chapter, but at the time I used to. And yeah, sometimes it would be really challenging to confront that fear of speaking in public and talking to people and blah 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 when I'm already tired. I feel that it's kind of energizing. You give and they give to you, and so like you out of the class, you're like, yeah, I still want to dance again and I want to do it next week again. So actually it's really good for me as a to be doing that. And yeah, so I use it as my own therapy. But yeah, it feels good. It's a good feeling to teach and share something you love.
Yeah. You mentioned about learning to accept your body through dancing. And I think it's also an interesting topic because it is like it's such a physical activity. Like the body is the tool that we're using to express. And again, I think now, there's less and less things we do in the real world, in the physical sense. So that topic, I think, is becoming more crucial. And like, I see people who come into classes and a lot of times they do seem quite disconnected from their body, or maybe the opportunity to be with someone else, to hold someone else's hand, to, like all of these physical aspects of the dance. What helped you in the process of like embracing your body and physicality of the dance?
Interesting question. Yeah, it's a process. Also because I loved it that much. So I felt head over heels for it. So maybe that helped for me to be like, okay, this is my body. This is where I'm moving. This is what I want to move. And this is the way I want to move it. I don't know. It's a process. It's still a work in progress, I guess. To feel like I can do things with my body and I can move this and I'm conscious of what I'm moving. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of what I'm moving, when I'm moving it and how I'm moving it. It's a process still. I'm still learning. But the thing is, I'm more grateful for my body than what I was before. Mm-hmm. I think dancing helped me appreciate what it can do for me, and what it can achieve, and how good it feels to inhabit it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me. And I quite forgot it because I had this job like everyone. So it would be like at work and then go home, eat food, watch Netflix and bye-bye and blah, blah, blah. So you're not really in tune with your body. Mm-hmm. Even like you're working on this job, it's whatever. So you don't know when you're full, when you're not. You don't know. You're not really in tune actually. I wasn't actually in tune with those feelings. And dancing, I really like helped it click a bit more. Mm-hmm. So I'm more aware of where I stand and what I do.
For sure. And because it's also like, I mean, ideally we could celebrate our bodies, right, for what they are and what they can do for us. But even if you're not able to celebrate it, just accepting it and observing it and noticing things. And sometimes that even, I think, comes when you feel pain. Because when you're dancing, there's so many things you'll feel. You'll feel your muscles or maybe something will be aching. But even that, like it's, I feel like it is getting in tune with your body. Oh, look, there's a tension in my shoulder. Maybe I need to do something about it. And I think if you're not in tune, like the body's just, you don't feel sometimes anything. And I feel like people feel less pain for at least a little bit when they're like in this autopilot. But when you're dancing, you're always aware, like, this feels strange. What's happening?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. My knee is a bit like, I don't know. Oh, maybe it's the back of my lower back is aching a bit, or like there's a tension in. Yeah. You feel all that actually, because you have to focus on your body when you're dancing. Well, because that's your tool. That's what you do. You focus on your music, you focus on your body and maybe on the groove of someone else. But yeah, your body is one of your primary focuses. So you get to experience that. And most of the time it's through pain, I guess. But it's a beginning. Afterwards, it's through like, oh, I love it. I love the way it moves and the feeling of that move is fine. But most of the time it starts with pain. Like, oh, I didn't know that I could move that. Or like, I moved last night and my whole body is aching in muscles that I didn't know I had. Mm-hmm. I hear that a lot. Like, I didn't know I had that muscle. Yeah, but you have it. Yeah. So now it's time to feel it and to use it. So yeah, I think like from that point of view, it's really good to it makes you in tune with your body like a lot, mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah. You said you had a day job, and can you tell a little bit about that part of your life? And
I used to be a lawyer in the entertainment industry. So I worked I worked for a producer of documentaries. Then I worked for a company that was working in the film industry. Then animated. And then documentaries again. So, that was what I was doing. I was making the contracts with the authors and the directors, the platforms, the channels, whatever. You name it, I could draft it. That was what I did. And yes, and that was good. I guess it's a good job. But it got a bit overwhelming around when I started to dance, actually.
Always that competition.
I don't know. No, I wasn't dancing that much. Actually, the first year I started to dance, I would dance an hour a week at classes. And then I would dance at home to learn the shimsham, for instance, which was like a challenge for me, the shimsham. But that was it. But... and then there were COVID, and we were home, and work started to be a lot more complicated because I would take on responsibilities that weren't mine to take, I guess. So I stopped that job at the end of 2020, and then I was like, okay, I need to change. But then life happened, and I had to go back to lawyering. Which actually was quite nice. Actually, I really loved the company for which I was working. I loved the project and I loved the people, but it was too much, like far too much. So I had I crashed basically, and I had a burnout. So I was out of office for 5 months this year, and then I got back, and I was like, oh my god, it won't do. So I just quit. And so now I'm trying to find the meaning of life.
Yeah. And you have more time for dancing?
I have more time for dancing, but I don't have enough energy to dance a lot. I'm still recovering. So I think I have time for dancing, but I don't want to do everything like I used to do. Like I would go out 2 or 3 times a week. I would go to every class there were. I would do a lot of things. Now I'm more like, okay, I try to find what's good for me. So if I don't feel like being in a huge place with a lot of people, I won't go. But I dance every day. Even if it's just putting a song and moving to it, or just feeling it, or not really work. Actually, not really working on anything. It's still dancing, so I dance every day.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of the best practices, because a lot of times, you know, it's like practicing limited in the studio. That is one way to practice, and it's good. But I feel like just being able to enjoy yourself and connect in your kitchen, that is as much of a practice as any.
Well, that's not what... This is all I do, but that's most of the practice I take at the moment. I try to practice every week and just go to the studio and practice it. I do it, but that's not I think that's 20% of what I do, maybe 10. Most of the time I'm home and I dance. I put some music, some Oscar Peterson or something, and I just feel it. And that's all I need at the moment. If I know at some point I will have to decide if I want to train more and do more things and stuff. But at the moment, I think I found a good balance. So,
Yeah. To round this off, I have 3 rapid questions. So it's you can answer in a sentence or quite short. So the first one is, what's the best dance advice that you've heard or received?
Even your follower, you can dance. And actually, it was Alexia Legui. Like, she was doing, I think it was 2 years ago or something, she was doing like those followers workshops. Mm-hmm. And she was like, but you're allowed to dance. And it's like, what? Okay, so what I'm doing is allowed. And actually, it changed my Lindy Hop. Like, there was a before and after.
What is the worst dance advice you've heard or received?
Just follow. Just wait and just listen and follow.
Just follow. Like the opposite of the best dance advice.
Yeah. But I heard it too. Like, just wait and follow. Because you have to wait before. You have to wait to hear what leader has to tell you to do. So you need to wait. Just wait and then follow. I think that's the worst advice. Because you're not when you do that, you can't dance with... You always have to dance with dancers that know the beat. Because sometimes some people don't. So if you wait and just follow... You might end up dancing to a song that's not playing.
Okay. And the last one is, how do you define success? Or what is success for you?
I think success for me would be finding the place where you belong, where you feel at ease, where you feel comfortable, where you can lay your head and just be yourself. I think it would be success for me. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Do you feel like you found a place like that, or it's in process?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. I'm getting there, yeah.
Well, I wish you best of luck to find a place where you can lay your head. And thank you for this beautiful talk.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for tuning in to What a Jazz Podcast. The episode was created together with the music of Dimitrio Papa, the visuals of Linda Vilnishkita, and the support from the Swinging Europe Network project. You can follow our updates and the new episodes on What a Jazz Facebook page. Take care, goodbye, and until next time.